If we this day, you know, this is when some of the apostles had prayed and healed. There was a man healed at the temple, and now they're in trouble over it. If we this day be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you. What in the world? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by the way, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw that the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were stupid, I mean, ignorant and unlearned, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm lost on my phone deal. Let's go to Acts chapter 18 at verse 24. Ever found yourself in conversation with somebody that you discovered to have some kind of faith? Or maybe you deemed them kind of religious. You know, people say that about us. But anyway, you found that somewhere they had some kind of faith, and it's in the process of the conversation, sometimes we're searching to see where they are in the faith. Now, unless you're one of them, just kind of lumps everybody together, you know, well, they go to church. But I kind of doubt that. Because if you have any understanding at all in the scripture, you understand that oftentimes, especially in the historical account of Acts, men were led, and women, to other men and women who were somewhere along the road, on the path, hopefully heading towards him. And this is a great thing, because the Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Over one individual who finally gets to the point where they come into agreement with how God is drawing them and begins to pull in the rope from the other end. They turn to God. It's not just about turning away from the world, because a turn to God should begin to shed the things of the world. They should fall off. It's not about trying to get the world to be compatible with the church and the church compatible with the world. It's truly a pursuit of him. And in my pursuit of him, there will be a constant change. Should. Unless you're resisting and then refusing and then becoming defiant. And where's that going to take you? A different path. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. This guy is a Bible thumper. That's intimidating. Man, the dude knew more than I did. I didn't want to open my mouth. He didn't necessarily know the right stuff, or there was stuff that he was missing, but still. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, and an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. We're going to keep reading. There you go. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. I believe that tells me he had the Holy Ghost. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Whoops. Knowing only the baptism of John. What was that? Well, let's see. Let's go back down there to John. John was down in the Jordan, and he was down in the water, and he was burying them, baptizing them, immersing them, not sprinkling them, but because there was much water, they were immersing them unto repentance. We can read it. We go back and look. And so this man, who is eloquent and mighty in the scriptures, and apparently inspired by the Spirit of God, only has a working knowledge concerning baptism of John's baptism. But we just read in Acts 4:12 that neither is there salvation. What does that word mean? What does that word mean? Being saved. Being redeemed. Neither is there salvation in any other name than the name of repentance. That's not a name. Then the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the redemptive power in a name called over me, or me calling on the name of the Lord while being baptized. You know, we don't instruct that way too often. You know, before you're going down, let's call on the name of the Lord here for a bit. Maybe we'll try that next time. And so here this man who is mighty in the scripture, and he's been given a venue, and he's communicating publicly. And there's this little old couple in the crowd, Aquila and Priscilla. Next verse. And began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Oh, he already goes to a church. Sounds to me like he went to Bible college. Dude is mighty in the scriptures. He's been studying. And look at little us, tent makers. Come on, get the picture. Who are we? He wouldn't listen to me. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla, the little old tent makers, had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The scripture's clear to say he knew the way of the Lord. He was teaching the way of the Lord, but there was something missing. There was something that caught their ear, and they realized we've got a responsibility. You ever found yourself in that situation? And what'd you do with it? Oh, he already goes to a church. I've talked to his kind before. They know it all. I don't have time. I'm a busy person. If I engage this, I won't be able to finish it. Am I getting close? And so we go on with life. God sends some messenger their way.
Yeah, and you were the messenger.
Don't miss the appointment. And so we read what we see so many times in the scripture. Somebody in pursuit, somebody on the path, and God brings them into contact with somebody that can bring them along further into a place that God intended for them to go. He doesn't send an angel down to go tell them. He sends the grocery clerk. He sends the tent sower and puts words in their mouth to speak and to share. And I suppose maybe enough anointing, something in the hunger of the individual to recognize, you're telling me the truth. Years ago, I was sitting in the office of Ron L. McGraw right down the street here, talking to Pastor McGraw. And he was upset. He was bugged. He said there were people that he'd been working with and trying to reach, and they went to some Benny Hinn meeting in Tacoma. And when the guy gave the appeal, they all came down. They all went right down there to the altar to start praying. He said, what's up with this? I've been reaching for these people for years, and they don't respond. And I don't know how we got there, but we got there in just a few moments of time where I felt like, this is time. I said, Ronnie? Now, he and I were on first name basis, had several lunches together, and many prayer meetings down the street in his office. And I began to share with him some things in the scripture. And I was almost kind of, you know, building up for a resistance. Like, surely the guy's well-versed in the scripture. He's probably going to give me some kind of a debate over this, and I'm going to try to. And when I got done, he looked across the desk at me, and he said, Larry, nobody's ever showed me. I almost missed that occasion because of all the stuff that ran ahead in my mind of reasons why I shouldn't open my mouth. You see, God had given us a couple of years that he had developed a trust in me that he realized I wasn't out for my own gain, but that I truly cared. And I truly cared. It was probably a year later. I don't want to hesitate to tell you this. It was probably a year later, two years later. I was praying here, and the Lord gave me a word to minister down there. And I'm thinking, and what am I supposed to do with this? Well, the Lord said, go down there and see. I went down, I knocked on the door. Ronnie Jr. came to the door, said, my dad's in the office. He'll want to know that you're here. Come with me. Went to the office. How you doing? He said, the Lord give you a word for me today? I said, well, I was kind of just waiting to see what he told you. I'm telling you what he told me. Do you have a word for us today? I said, I believe I do. All right, you're preaching. And I preached Jesus' name through the scriptures. And got to a point where I knew I was about to cross a line. And I looked back. And Ronnie said to me, you know my stand. and I backed away. I believe that I obeyed what the Lord asked of me in the season and the time. And of course, it was only a couple of months later that cancer took his life. You know, too often times we get our minds focused on the outcome of a matter. You know, that somehow it's got to be a success. It can't be a failure, because then you feel like a failure and then you quit. Our responsibility is the moment. It's the encounter. It's the appointment. It's whatever. When God has opened the door and gave the moment, Aquila and Priscilla. Oh, let's see. Where does it go from there? Verse 27. After Aquila and Priscilla explained to them the way of God more perfectly, which would have been, because it referenced already that he only knew John's baptism, it would have been concerning baptism in Jesus' name. All you got to do is go back through all the accounts through Acts, and you'll know that's exactly what that conversation was about. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. They put a stamp on him. When this guy comes through, let him speak. I don't remember what it says next. Is there another scripture? Oh, 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Why would that be important? Because until the revelation comes for some that Jesus was the Christ, they would resist being baptized in Jesus' name. Saul of Tarsus, bad dude, sinner. Wait, he was a Pharisee. Yep, sinner. Sinner because he had not experienced blood-bought redemption according to the word. I don't care how many letters he had from those in the powers that be to go and do whatever it was under the guise of church work. Having a zeal for God, only he didn't know God. He had a zeal for religion. It all looked good, it all looked right, but the guy was a sinner. And you've come to full realization when you find him on the road to Damascus and a bright light shines. And he starts conversing with the Lord, not even knowing it's the Lord. So why didn't the Lord just say, look, go into Damascus. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why didn't the Lord just tell him? Don't operate that way. I'll send somebody along. Sends Ananias to the house, comes in. We got a guy. He has a zeal for God. He just doesn't realize that the spirit that he is trying to fellowship is not. This isn't registering with somebody here. He had a zeal for what he knew to be God, that abstract God in the sky of the Old Testament. The spirit that was driving him was not God's spirit. I don't care how broad his phylacteries were. I don't care how much praying he did on the streets with his bros. He wasn't serving God just because he thought he was. Oh, he had a faith. He had a religion. But he had no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That becomes evident in the conversation. So now blinded, now fasting, now he's waiting on, he's kind of becoming humble. It's not a bad thing. And he obeys, and he goes, and he abides in a man's house, and there's a knock at the door, and another man is seen in a vision. The Lord spoke to him, Ananias, go and pray for this guy. And you know the conversation. And Ananias comes, and he begins to pray for him. Can I lay my hand on your head? Brother Saul. There's a by faith statement if you ever made one. The guy's been killing all the Jews, or imprisoning them, having them beaten. Brother Saul, the Lord sent me here to pray for you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's religious, but he's not even alive unto God. And he needs help. He needs somebody. He needs a messenger to come and tell, come and share. Ananias was scared to death. You read the account. But it was his calling. It was Aquila and Priscilla's calling. It was your calling when you found yourself there. That was the appointment. That was the time. You're the one. Open your mouth. Share your testimony. Well, I was on the road to Damascus one day, and a bright light shined down upon me. You see Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great student of the Scripture, just sharing his testimony everywhere he went. But it seemed to be the impacting thing that opened their eyes to begin to see and hear what he had to say. Your testimony works the same way. How many here has gave a one-on-one Bible study? Lift your hand up real high. Take a count, Brother Johnstone. Hands up. Let them know when you counted, they put their hand down. You have given a one-on-one Bible study sometime in your life. How many? 27. Now, forgive me, here's the all-condemning question. How many are giving a Bible study right now? Hands up. Get a count. You want some help? Okay. Now, that's not a condemning question. It's a reality. Okay. Okay, let's go back to the scripture for a minute. Again, to prove this model, there's a guy in where'd he live? Cornelius. There's a guy by the name of Cornelius. He's a centurion. He was of the Italian band. No, that's the other guy. Anyway, Cornelius, he's praying, he's fasting. He's been doing all he knows to do. He is seeking the Lord. If you asked him, he would tell you, I'm living for God. I am a believer. But he's only saying that based on present information. He's lacking information. He's lacking direction and understanding concerning redemption. He's looking at an old religious model and saying, I'm doing what I know to do right. And some would say, well, at least he's going to a church. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, he'll keep pursuing God. No, that's not how it works. God sees the hunger of the man. Not only the man, he sees the hunger of the family. He sees the hunger, and he sees all those associated with Cornelius in his house. And so he has to go and talk to a believer. You know, this is a long-time believer, at least a year. Maybe two, I don't know, at this point. He's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's the guy that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel and all that, right? And Peter, you know, this churchgoer, this believer, you know, we're churchgoers because we go to a lot of church. I have to tell you, sometimes I wonder if we go to too much church. Because if there's only 7 days in a week, and if I'm at church 2 or 3 days a week, sometimes I'm at church 4 and 5 days a week. Different places. Do I really want to commit another night to somebody that needs to have a Bible study? Man, I got time for that. I'm going to church. Who's got time to be the church? I'm always going to church. I was thinking earlier, I thought, maybe we got to cancel some Wednesday nights. Or no, not cancel, trade off. Would you give up being here so you could be elsewhere because God led you to an individual at Starbucks and you started talking and you could tell, boy, they're on the path, but they got a little ways to go. I could help them. I know some things in the scripture. We could just get together and read the book of Acts together. The word will teach itself. I wonder, can we see a show of hands? Okay, I was vetoed. Cornelius is another example of a man in pursuit of God, whom the Lord sent another man to bring to them the way of God more perfectly. While he was still talking to them, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. They began to speak with other tongues. Now listen, watch this. So he's checking it off. Okay, they're repented, stored God. They've turned to God, but now they've got the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute. He turns back to those 6 Jews that he brought with him and said, who can forbid them water? Because they received the Holy Ghost just like we did. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name. Which name? The only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philip's having such an awesome time in Samaria. People are believing the things that he's speaking. So much so, devils are crying out and being cast out. People are being healed. The Bible descriptive was there was great joy in Samaria. I mean, when the Bible says there's great joy, I can't even imagine. God was moving. But of course, you know, Philip was not qualified to pray him through the Holy Ghost, apparently. I'm being facetious. I'm kidding. Peter and John comes down and prays them. They receive the Holy Ghost. The angel of the Lord visits Philip and says, leave here, go out into a desert place. Boy, that's a strange request. All this activity going on right here with all these thousands of people. But God had an appointment for one man. You see, there was another man that he was not aware of at the time. He didn't know even that somebody existed. But there was another man who had been in Jerusalem. And now he was heading home. And he was on a chariot. He had the Bible open. He's like us. Where do I start? Old Testament, New Testament? Oh, wait. It was just the Old Testament this time. He's got the books of the law, and there's, you know, he's opening this, and he's reading in the scrolls, but this doesn't make any sense. A lamb being slaughtered and, you know, standing before his shears being dumb. Well, what in the world is this talking about? And there's people like that in your life. Oh, they're not telling anybody they're reading the Bible. Oh, no, no, no. On the job, they're cool. They're hip. They use a foul language. They picked up a six-pack on the way home. I was the guy. They're turning TBN on because it was the only thing on. And listening, because something was working in a life. And the Spirit of God was drawing the individual. He ain't telling nobody about it. Oh, no, no, no. That's uncool. You realize I talk from the 70s. I don't know what the words are for today. I left the world in the first part of 80, 81. I don't know the language. There's somebody. There's somebody on your job. There's somebody at Albertsons. You at Albertsons or Safeway? Okay, just checking. There's somebody at Albertsons. They go home at night. They're contemplating thoughts. They're thinking about stealing an airplane. Now we're current. Going through stuff. Didn't want to tell anybody about it. Oh, he's the most normal employee we know. That's right, because you don't see what God sees. You don't know what's going on in the heart. And I'm feeling such a rush of the Holy Ghost right now. There's somebody in the room, you've had the same thought processes going on. And not knowing what to do or when to do or how.
You're waiting for a messenger to help you.
That man crossing the desert, full of questions. He needed somebody. And so God arranged for an obedient believer who just at the suggestion would say, I'll go. And he went. Until the Lord pointed him out. That guy right there. Chariot. Run across. Yeah, there are no other chariots. That's the only one. That guy. And he went and joined to him. And what did he do? Started doing a personal one-on-one Bible study with him. Not knowing the guy was ripe and ready for the harvest. Well, here's water right here. What's that got to do with anything? Because if he was talking to him about redemption, he just told him you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Well, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And the two of them went down in the chariot, down in the water. And there was such a manifestation of God there, the Spirit of God caught Philip up and took him away. That was like an express salvation movement. Express revival. What, you don't think he still does that today? You don't think he's intended that there's situations that he's brought you close to? You're the Philip. You're the possessor of a treasure in an earthen vessel. Let's pray. Help me, Lord. Help me to know the when. Help me to know the who. Give me sensitivity that I don't walk past it. That my life be not too busy for it. That I commit, that I'm willing. You gave me the truth. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He gave it to you. He's not taking it back. You'll live the rest of your life with it. Make your calling and election sure. Who are you? Have you come into agreement with who you're supposed to be? I was talking to Miko Laksamana one day, and he was sharing with me. He had just gone down to Kent and ministered one Sunday when he was asked to, and he said, man, you know, it was different. It was different than the way it had been in the past. In the past, It was the father trying to get him to accept what he saw in his life, and he was pushing it off. He was resisting it and saying, no, no, not me. And stop talking to me about that anyway. That's wrong. And now he's telling me, hey, this was different this time. And I said, what do you attribute that to? I don't know, you know. Maybe it was the new location. Maybe it was the people were different, looked at me different, treated. How about this? For the first time, you've come into agreement with what God's wanting to do with you. I promise you, that changes everything. When you quit fighting it, when you quit resisting it. Do you know, I can go back and I can remember, you know, really half a rack of beer at night, TBN channel. Dean Haberfield was on the job. Dean Haberfield, you know, ex-biker, hurt his leg, walked around with a limp because of his bike fall and, you know, smoking Marlboros. But he'd stop drinking. He was dropping all these scriptures on me. I'm thinking, Dean, you don't even look like a Christian. But, you know, because of his appearance, I listened to him. If he looked holy, get away. And so the scripture that he would quote to me would just keep talking to me. I fought that for 6 months. I cussed up and down. When I came to the realization I couldn't tell a sentence without cussing, I knew I had a problem with cussing. It had something to do with what was in the heart. It was making itself out. And sometimes I just cuss him just to see what he looked, how he looked back at me. Because he was quoting scriptures to me and I was cussing him. And I don't know when all together it began to happen, but you know, when you're drunk, you're kind of rummy and emotional, and it, you know, you can be influenced. And nobody was in my room except me, so I, you know, check out the TBN channel, and it is some of the worst stuff I've ever heard. But there were words that were quoted that would continue to talk to me. And so eventually, you know, I'd sit there and cry in my drunkenness and, you know, not knowing what to do and where to go. And but here's what I do remember. When I stopped not wanting to hear Dean quote the scripture, all of a sudden, I'd talk back to him about the scripture. And then the Lord said, oh, timing. He started sending other people into my life that brought the same influence that was positive. And all of a sudden, I realized I was tired of being a drunk. I was tired of what I had done to my life. I realized I couldn't help myself. I tried. And I needed God. And when I finally came to the realization, I need you. Some of you have heard me tell it. I was driving home from an Amway meeting in Spokane. Some guy had, somebody had insulted me. So I felt bad. But I remember after hearing a testimony of an individual. When I left that night, I guess it was the last straw. And on the way up that hill out of Spokane, I remember saying these words because the Lord, the presence of God came into my pickup. I'd had this encounter before. And he said to me, Larry, I love you. And it was all I could take. I burst out crying. And I said, I have made shipwreck of my life. If you will just take me the way I am and help me and put me back together, fix me. I don't know what I was committing to. I just said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. drove straight to my grandmother's church. I finally came into agreement with his plan for me. And everything changed. Everything turned. There's a lot of people out there like I was. A lot of people out there like you were. You're their messenger. You know, it's got to be more than a church invite. Be the messenger he shaped you to be. Be the messenger he's called you to be. The calling's not going to leave you. And you're not going to replace it with anything else. It'll never fulfill you. It'll never fulfill you. Man, I can so recall the feeling of stop fighting, of stop resisting, and surrendering. Instead of living days of guilt, man, things just, all of a sudden, I started smiling again. I started smiling again. I started feeling good about people and myself, and I began to pursue. Now, here's what's interesting. I didn't know what to do. I just went wherever Grandma was. She was my bridge. She was my bridge. Man, that woman had the Holy Ghost. Ooh, she could pray. But it wasn't God's intent for me to stay there. Follow me? So he used and manipulated circumstances around my life to lead me across town. He did this through a good friend of mine. The friend didn't invite me. The friend repented and asked me, have I ever heard of that? Yeah. And I'm thinking, Roger, you're worse than I was. Tell me about it. And so when I found out his wife was not going with him and was not supporting him, I'm thinking, oh, man, Roger, you'll never make it. You need help. I'll go. So I left my grandmother's church, went to this other church around downtown called the United Pentecostal Church on 1118 McKinley. And in 2 weeks, I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. I was simply coming into alignment with his plan. Right. Well, the rest is whatever it is. I was at a motorcycle race in Mabton, Washington with my brother. He was racing, and I was on the sidelines getting drunk. Well, I'd passed the part of, you know, feeling good to slurring. You can picture me this way, can't you? I'm on the sidelines. I'm slurring, and nobody is wanting to talk to me anymore. Because I realized he was ashamed of me. My younger brother was ashamed of me. There ought to be circumstances that come through our life to cause us to look at ourselves circumspectly and stop making excuses. God send the messenger. God send the accusation. Send a statement that would help make an individual just turn or look at themselves with honesty. You know, I hadn't even seen that picture of myself yet. I was living it, but I didn't see through other people's eyes. And when he made that statement to me, I thought, I'll bet all these people think that about me. And I went away, and I never did go back. How far you got to go? What's it going to be? Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I'd like for our musicians to come. You know, I've heard preaching like this before, and I've watched people come and pray at an altar and out of conviction, and it seems like the biggest effort sometimes is to get out from under the conviction rather than let this conviction move me that I will walk in shoes I've not walked in yet. I mean, I've been in this for more than 20 years. Maybe for some it's more than 30 years. Maybe more, it's 40. Some of it, it's the rest. It's all been all your life. It's been all of your life. Come into agreement with your part. Now, here's my disclaimer. Many parts in the body. Some are given for movement. Some are given for reach, touch. Some are given for sight, hearing, awareness. You've got a function. I don't want to convict or condemn the person who has been a knee all their life, and that's what they're supposed to be in the body of Christ. You don't want to be something you're not called to be. I'm not reaching for the knees today. I'm not reaching for the hips that render stability. But there's a call of God on individuals in this room that you are the reach. You're the reach. You've been given the word of truth. His anointing is upon you that breaks every yoke. What are you going to be? Who are you going to be? We have to answer that honestly before the Lord. When our girls were young and we were young. Personally, I'd find it difficult at times to bring a Bible study into the home. Sometimes it was just so chaotic, couldn't get anywhere trying to communicate. So I understood that. Most of my personal Bible studies were given outside the home. In town, somebody's apartment, out at the Army base, Selah. And I was good with that. If I could sacrifice a night, we lived most of our early ministry at least sacrificing one night a week to reach out. My wife went to the jail for 2 years. I don't mean inside. She stayed outside, but she visited and she taught women Bible studies for 2 years there until we got to the place. And I said, honey, girls aren't so young anymore and they need all your time. And she curtailed that. But that was a season. Okay? And you'll go through seasons in your life. We're not mechanical robots. Okay? I'm asking for all the Tomyevs. I want you to come up front. Your last name doesn't matter. You know if you're a Tomyev.
Face me. We love the fact that God's relocated you here. There's a people. God intends may be your extended relatives. I don't know. I've never felt differently about this since the first time you came, Andre. You have to find where is the place of fitment. Show me when to act. Don't let my life be so consumed with other things that I can't be attentive to it. Or even if I'm attentive to it, I just don't have the time for it. You believe what I'm telling you?
I'd like for us to step behind this family and pray for them right now.
Why don't you move forward just a little bit?
Now I'm talking to one family right here, right now. I could be talking to many family in this congregation. Let's pray. Let's pray the hand of God to be upon these vessels and in this room. In the name of Jesus. I will stand yielded to you, my Father. It is you that have called me. I will stand yielded and present myself an empty vessel for your purpose and for your cause. In the name of Jesus, we accept this of you, Father. We accept this of you, Father. Let our lives be yielded. Let our lives be wholly yielded unto you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I'd like to open this altar. You're all up here anyway. Come on, why don't you take a minute? Bend a knee. Be responsive. Amen to the call of God, the voice of the Lord. Calling upon you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.